All right, we are back with episode 235 of Two Drunk Brothers in the Podcast. Took a little bit of a week hiatus because the storylines in sports and sports themselves are just kind of in a that February, March, spring lull. So, but we are back. We are going to have a few different topics and headlines we're going to bring you guys, and then we are going to play a draft game. So stick around for that. Not going to tell you what it is. With that being said, boys, how's it been?
Been good. Allergies are kicking my ass because spring came a little early. Like literally the last 3 days, I've sounded and sneezed probably. Sounded like shit and sneezed probably, I don't know, a good 50 times. Sucked. Anytime you hit a golf ball in February and it bounced off a tree and a fucking dust of pollen comes off of it, then you know it's bad.
Yeah, I was gonna say, speaking of golf and golfing around, you can tell for those like myself who are a summer active person and really no other time, that it can get to you early on in the season, because we went golfing this weekend, as both of these two know. Golfed 18. The next day I was sore. The day after that I was sore.
I didn't get sore. I got hit with a gnarly hangover about 4 hours after the round. I was laying on the couch like I would have went out the night before and was woke up the next morning. I felt like dog shit.
I was going to talk about that, because that to me, that makes day drinking more superior than going out at night, because I was able to go get up on Monday and be at work just fine. But I'm the same way, Travis. Like, I'm laying in bed at like 10:30 at night, fucking pounding headache. Every time I get up, it's just like doom, doom, doom. I'm so, like, I wasn't even that drunk. I didn't drink a sip of water.
Yeah, no water, and it was just the sun was beating down on us all day.
And a hot day for February. I was gonna say, so you say that, but what is worse, arguably? And it's the context of the day that it happens on. So what's worse is you go out Friday night and you have a hangover Saturday morning, but you don't have to do anything. Or you have a hangover on Sunday evening and you can't go to bed because it's so pounding.
Okay. First of all, I have a toddler at home, so there is no not doing anything the next day.
Okay.
So
well, that's not in this context.
I would say you left out the one that's arguably the worst, and that's Sunday morning hangover.
Yeah, Sunday, well, that's why I said context of the day.
But Sunday afternoon hangover, I'm fine with, because that means I had fun that Sunday. Like, we went golf and we had fun. Saturday morning, not too worried about it. Kind of sucks.
And that's what I was going to argue too, is like, I don't want to have a hangover Monday morning when I have to go to work. That's why I think the day matters. But I think I'd rather have a Saturday morning hangover if I didn't have anything to do that day, as opposed to like Saturday night when you're like, oh my God, like I'm dying. I just want to go to bed.
See, counterpoint, I argue that. No, because then you waste your whole Saturday and you don't do anything Saturday night, and then you don't do, and then Sunday you're like, fuck, the weekend's over, and you get the Sunday scaries. Then you basically wasted your whole weekend because you went out Friday night.
I guess it also just depends on how long your hangover lasts. I don't get bad hangovers. So my hangovers were like an hour and a half and then I'm chilling.
But you know what really sucks is a Friday morning hangover. That sucks.
Yeah. Me and Travis have been there a couple that times sucks. In recent weeks.
Monday morning hangover is usually not too bad, because there's Sunday fun day. There's Sunday fun day. And there's a fine line between Sunday psychopaths. If you're drinking Sunday night, psychopath.
No, yeah. To me, it was fine. Like, I had fun that day, got my hangover out of the way. I slept it off. It made me go to bed early. So I woke up like on Monday morning with like almost 9 hours of sleep, which I never get anymore. So that was like the perfect. And it'd be the same thing if it was Saturday. Like, if I got super day drunk on a Saturday, you got hungover Saturday night and woke up and had all my whole Sunday to do shit.
But I'd what?
For that, waking up in the morning with a hangover.
What if there was a UFC card Saturday night?
The worst types of hangovers are like the ones where you day drink all fucking day and then drink into the night and then wake up the next day and you're just like, I want to fucking die.
Those are the ones where typically you're drinking all day. You hit a hangover like early to late afternoon and you have to power through it. And then the next day you're just like,
your body's like, life. What is, water.
That's the worst. But Sunday, we went to the early dinner, went home. I don't know if I was hungover or I wanted to throw up because I was so full. And then laid down on the couch for a little bit, went and got ice cream, came back, watched Love is Blind.
Lieutenant Dan, oh, so ice cream.
We're watching it too. Watching Love is Blind. I think we started it. I was telling you about it while we were there, right?
Yeah, you were. So that's why we came home and started it that night.
Yeah. Dude. Crazy that girl that looks like Megan Fox.
Yeah, she sure does.
Well, apparently that guy, I don't know how far you are, but you got to know that they end up matching up because it's all over TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch any of it, but I did
I'm after.
See, we're not quite there yet. We're almost there. Okay. But apparently they cut out a scene where he says he looks like Christian McCaffrey.
I don't know enough about it to know if he does, but
well, Travis looks like Christian Hutchinson McCaffrey himself. Too. I was going to say I look like Aiden Hutchinson apparently. So we have that for us. One last piece of evidence before we move on to our topics. Me, Ethan, and friend of the pod, but never has been on, were playing Xbox last night. And just random topic of how we got onto this game. We were playing Hot Wheels Racing because why not? And we're on this track and it's blowing me around. I have a Zen in. Didn't think it. So Ethan, this is where step two comes into play. I stand up. I'm like, because I'm going in circles. We can't get past this level going in circles. I'm like, I'm getting sick. I go upstairs and vomit my brains out. Like fucking projectile. So fill up the fucking toilet bowl of puke. Because I get motion sickness from playing Xbox. Come back down. Look at the Zen pouch. It's because I had a 6 milligram Zen in too.
So Jared, for context for you too, like to add a little more to that, the Hot Wheels track that we selected, and again, we got on this because we were getting pissed off about Rocket League. We tried a couple other games, then we learned that my cloud gaming for Xbox Game Pass was working. It hadn't in the past, so we were like, oh, we can play fucking whatever. So we were just looking through games. We got on Hot Wheels. We got on this track that was a fucking fever dream. I say this with like an abundance of respect and caution to those who suffer from epilepsy. It would have given somebody with epilepsy a seizure. That's how bad this track was. And so I don't blame Travis at all.
Like Rainbow Road on steroids.
Dude.
Yes.
Kind of. Oh, but like, you're like, there's like fans that blow you in the air and you got to boost through it. So I'm boosting through the air, but doing flips and circles. And so I'm watching it.
It's like the same Hot Wheels game we spent like PS2 when we were kids. Is that what
kind
it is?
Kind of, but
probably,
newer,
yeah. Just more better graphics, but yeah.
But I've never thrown up that bad.
He said, boys, I got to take a break. That's all me and Lucas heard. And he comes back like 10 minutes later and he goes, I just puked my brains out. Dude,
Ashley's in bed and she's like, what's wrong? I was like, I don't feel good. I start throwing up so bad, like 4 times all my dinner. And she's just dying laughing in the bed. I was like, it is not funny. I feel horrible.
It was pretty funny though.
Yeah, it's like if you were to freaking be scrolling on your phone on a long windy back road and then you look up. That's how I felt with the Zen in,
and the phone is just doing this in your face, fucking blasting lights.
So there we have it. Hopefully this doesn't happen tonight. I'm not doing any extracurricular epilepsy seizure inducing activities. So that being said, we might want to talk about some sports at least. So one of the hottest topics going around.
Probably one of mine. Yep.
Today was the NFLPA grades.
Oh,
not mine. Go ahead though.
No, not mine either. Yeah.
So there was the Dolphins apparently ranked top in the NFL in, I guess, overall score and a lot of the scores and what they actually look at for like the second year in a row, which woohoo, consolation prize, because they can't really fucking win anything else, but they won this. So I guess certain players, I think they had 1,700 players that submitted grades for, you know, all of the different categories. Right. and they go through and rank them. Like, some of them are the treatment of families, you know, the grade of the team owner, the food / cafeteria, locker room, training staff, team travel, weight room, training room, head coach, and the strength coaches. What I found interesting is that the Chiefs ranked 31st overall out of all of this.
So my question to you before you go any further then.
So it doesn't matter.
Well, not that. Is that if you have over 1,700 players, outside of the players who have either been traded, signed with different teams and stuff, how do they know like what other teams?
I mean, players are still, but they're probably just grading the team they play for.
Yeah, ranking your own team. That's it. You're only ranking your team.
Yeah.
Right, but like based on what then, I guess? Because if you're ranking them 1 through 32, or are you just getting grades? No. Oh, okay,
you give a grade, and then
I was like,
the NFLPA is like
Packers are 15th, and it's like, compared to what?
Yeah.
I get what you're saying now. Okay.
No, so like, they give them like a grade. They probably had to give them a grading scale, and then like all these people took this. It's like a scientific survey, essentially.
Okay, I get it. So like they're going like 1 through 10, like how's your food? It's a 7, blah, blah, blah. I get you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Andy Reid ranked first among all 32 teams in the head coach category. I think that was obviously their highest one, which is new this year and heavily weighted in the final grade. So you got to think, if that's heavily weighted and he ranked first, how poor is everything else? Their owner ranked last. Arrowhead is, I mean, it might be a good stadium to be a home team in, but it's not a fantastic stadium fan experience wise, unless you're a Chiefs fan that just likes noise.
It's not only fan experience. I'm talking about from player experience. It's like, if I'm a player, I'm not going to get jazzed up to go fucking play in Kansas City and Missouri. Okay. Mind you, it's also fucking 7 miles outside of downtown Kansas City. So it's a pain in the ass for me to get there from anywhere in Kansas City, Overland Park, wherever I'm fucking living at. I'm not living in that area where the goddamn stadium's at. It's a pain in the ass to get to.
You don't want to live in Independence?
No. I mean, so that I'm not surprised that. I am surprised that like some of their other things scored low. Like you said, it was.
So they ranked 26th in the food and cafeteria category, 31st in the nutritionist and dietitian category, 31st in training room, and 32nd in training staff. So what this tells me is that, I mean, obviously it doesn't really matter in terms of performance on the field, but it's got to at least matter somewhat to team and player happiness, right?
I mean, and also whether or not people stay or come there, like, you know, right.
jokes on us. Kadarius Toney is the only one who filled out that survey.
Like, but I really like Andy Reid. ESPN posted this thing earlier where treatment of families, Bengals, Commanders, Patriots, Steelers, F-.
The Commanders one I still get. I think that's going to take a while to fix. So
food cafeteria, Bengals, F-.
Yikes.
Which is
Skyline Chili.
Skyline Chili.
Shitty food. Shitty food. Team travel, Bucks, Commanders, Titans, F. I don't know if they're taking a 1980 fucking streamliner or what.
Taking that same fucking Greyhound that Zach was supposed to take. That's what they're taking.
Meanwhile, I will show you the highest, what the Dolphins ranked highest in amongst, like tied for highest. Owner blows my mind.
Yep.
But sure. Food cafeteria, that's locker room, training staff, team travel, weight room, training room, strength coaches.
How? They're always hurt.
Hey, doesn't
the first one and the last one don't make any, but everything in between blows. I mean, people wonder how we were able to like attract all these free agents sometimes. And like people like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Ramsey that want to come play for us. Like, first of all, you're playing in Miami. You get to live in Miami. Like, that's a fucking huge perk. And you have all these other perks that they cap and you go to your job. Where did Mike McDaniel rank amongst head coaches?
7th.
That surprises me too. That's really high for a second year head coach.
So they were like tremendous 2 years in a row. Obviously there's a lot of teams that, you know, are at the bottom. So the Dolphins are one of the best, which I thought was just really interesting how the Chiefs players ranked their team so poorly in all these things. And apparently last year, the Chiefs owner, which might be why he got the last grade,
said that he was going to, you know, improve some of the facilities like the weight room and the locker room because they were sitting on stools last year. This year they did get upgraded chairs, but apparently he didn't do that.
Yes, we have backs now.
I'm being dead serious.
But I mean, that could, you know, little things like that, I guess, do make a significant difference to the players. So, but
absolutely, yeah. It does. I mean, if you're a multi-million athlete, you're going to go work out in a fucking dingy ass weight room like the North County High School locker room, you know?
Yeah.
Where we had plates literally cracking in half and shit like that. So,
after the, like, these grades came out today and the Steelers locker room was apparently graded poorly, like, there's memes all over the internet going around of, like, what their locker room looked like. It was like shitty weights laid in the corner.
I don't know if you have this in front of you, but do you have the top seven coaches? I want to see if we can guess who's in front of Mike McDaniel outside of Andy Reid, obviously, but you don't have it. Because while you're looking it up, my guess off the rip was Reid, Tomlin, Shanahan. I don't think you can include Belichick. He's not technically a head coach anymore. I don't think he'd be top seven anyway.
No.
I think Pete Carroll would have been.
I got it.
Okay. All right, so just let us know if we're right.
Actually, eighth. Sorry.
Okay, let us know if we're right as we go. So we got Reid, Tomlin. Is he on this list? Okay.
Yes, both of them are. Yes.
Okay.
McVay.
Yes. I will tell you, you will not get. You're missing an obvious one. You will not get the other two.
Obvious one.
Come on.
O'Connell.
He is number two. I didn't think you'd get that.
Nice. Kevin O'Connell. Yeah.
Missing an obvious one.
Obvious one. AFC, NFC?
NFC.
Is it? There's no way it's Matt LaFleur.
No.
Okay. I didn't think so. I like Matt LaFleur, but I don't think he was top 10.
It's Pete Carroll.
But he's not a coach.
Dan Campbell.
Mm. Oh, Dan Campbell. Yeah.
That makes sense.
And the one that you were not going to guess, Nick Sirianni.
Oh, God, no. That would have been my last choice. He should be 32.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur was 21st.
Oof.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, I like him personally, but again, I'm not a player, so I don't know.
You want to know a really surprising one? Kevin Stefanski, 28.
That guy seems like a fucking stick in the mud. Doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Well, so does Sirianni, though.
Yeah. Well, Sirianni just seems like a baby. Stefanski seems like a stick in the mud. Or like Stefanski seems like the type of dude. If you don't like, he's not going to be your buddy. Like if you don't show up and do your
15.
I thought he would have been way lower. Dude's quirky.
I feel like you like him. He's just not the best coach. I don't know. He might be a likable guy.
He's a fucking robot. Yeah, I mean,
a lot of the ones like the bottom three were fired: Arthur Smith, Ron Rivera, Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels didn't get fired, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Yes.
He did. Sorry, in midseason. Things like that. But you can look them up. They have them like all ranked on various places. So I thought that was kind of interesting that got released.
Was.
Today.
Yep.
Was. All right.
Cool. I was going to say I have an NFL topic. If nobody else has. Okay. Cool. And we can just roll into our NFL topics. I just wanted to touch on this one briefly, just because it's been all over for like the last week. And I have some thoughts that I just want to get your guys' thoughts on, honestly, just of how things could go. And it's the Bears situation, right? We keep hearing it left and right. What are they going to do? Are they going to trade Justin Fields? Are they going to draft Caleb Williams? Blah, 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 blah. But I think that there's a third option out there that I don't think the Bears are going to do, but I think that it would be really smart if they did do it, that nobody is really talking about. And I would trade Justin Fields and trade the number one pick. And I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. I hate the Bears, but if you get that much draft capital to move back a pick and you trade Justin Fields and you can still get Drake May.
Justin Fields ain't going to get you a first round pick.
I think the first pick will. I think we touched on this kind of at the end of the NFL season, whenever this was kind of buzzing around too. I'm not the biggest Justin Fields fan by any means. But they have a lot more issues than just Justin Fields.
Yep.
So you can't keep going in this QB, like going after the next QB, going after the next QB. Call me crazy. All these top QB prospects, they're not going to put you to the next level for the Chicago Bears. I think you keep them. You still trade away the first round pick, but you get way more picks because you got to start building.
Yeah, that's my opinion. So, and I even want to throw out another option out there that I did actually hear today that I thought was interesting. Because one, Jarrett, you're right. You're not going to get a first round pick for Fields, but you could get a second, and you could get maybe like a second and a fifth. But I think that first round pick, if somebody like the Commanders really wants Caleb Williams, they went out and they got fucking what's his face. He's from DC. Like they might be all in on like, let me give you the biggest offer. But another point that I heard today is the Bears are historically just really bad at developing QBs. Really, really bad. So why not take a chance and maybe go get one who's, you know, I mean, quote unquote proven, but what if you traded the pick, or maybe you didn't trade the pick and you drafted whoever you wanted at one that wasn't a QB, but I think you would trade it at that point. You traded Fields and you went and signed a guy like Kirk Cousins. And
if they get somebody from a trade, sure. But them going out and drafting one is not going to be the solution.
And the problem that's going to have to happen before the draft happens. So we'll know well before. If the Bears don't have a quarterback, now they very well could draft Caleb Williams and then trade Fields after the fact. I think that's going to be a lot harder to find a trade partner there. I think anything that happens is going to happen before draft night. So if we don't see a Fields trade, or we don't see the Bears acquire somebody via free agency or via trade that is a quarterback, a proven quarterback, to Ethan's point, because that's my point too. Like, I don't think any of these quarterbacks in this class, we hear it every year, except for that one year where there's like nobody. But every year is like, this is the best quarterback class. This is the best quarterback class. This is the best quarterback. I think Caleb Williams is a fucking flop. He's going to be a flop of all flops. He's a loser.
To one of the teams he's going to go to. Like,
I don't even think that.
If you put him in a good situation or a good team, sure, he'll probably be decent. But if you put
He doesn't have the mental fortitude, in my opinion.
So I don't think he's going to translate well either.
Right. Yeah. And my other thing that I'll always argue to, now that I've seen it, you know, I've seen it twice technically, but I've really seen it now, is I don't know why more teams don't go to like the Packers method of letting a guy sit behind for a couple years, develop. So I'm like, what if they draft?
They are desperate.
Yes.
Yeah. No. And I get that, but I'm saying like, what if,
they need asses and
you know,
seats.
They were what, 8-9, 7-10 last year. What if they traded back a little bit? They picked up a guy like, and again, we've talked about it on this podcast, I am by no means a JJ McCarthy believer, but what if they picked up a guy like that, let him sit behind a Kirk Cousins signee for 3 years, and then let him jump in because he's only 22 years old? That's another thought process that I had, is they have so much draft or so much salary cap space that they can go get whoever they want realistically that's available. So it was just a thought, because I'm with you guys. I'm not a big Caleb Williams believer. I'm not a big Justin Fields believer, because we've seen it just in that system specifically. He might go to somewhere like Atlanta and just run over the AFC or the NFC South, but they got to do something different than what they're trying to do. That's just my opinion. That's why I want to.
Something different is a fucking draft people that are actually going to move the needle. Like, I think Justin Fields is a needle mover, but they always draft these guys that like, don't do that. Like, if they go out and they, in my opinion, okay, maybe you trade back from 1 to 2, but I would just make it well known and go out there with number one pick and be like, I'm taking Marvin Harrison Jr.
No, because you could get 3 first round picks for that pick.
That's what I'm saying. And you could still get, you could trade back to 3 and still get Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
Like, you could still,
if they take any QB, they're going to do themselves a disservice by doing that. And that's my honest opinion. If they take Caleb Williams, they're going to be in the same situation 2 to 3 years.
Yep. I agree. So I think they should keep Justin Fields and just trade back and draft. I still even think drafting or getting a veteran quarterback to come into that situation, it's tough. That offensive line's still a mess. That's the big, and Justin Fields is mobile and able to get away from pressure.
I was gonna say he's not a great passer by any means, and his vision is horrible, and he's one read, but at least he's able to get away when guys are trying to sack him.
Well, and without jumping back into this point and spending more time on it, just real fast, the other thing that you can think about too, is you talked about that offensive line and protection, and they still need pieces. They have the first and the ninth pick. So say they trade back to 3 and they get a wide receiver and an offensive tackle in the top 10. And then you go get a proven guy, then you might be in a decent situation. And you sign Derrick Henry. I don't know. I'm just throwing names out there, but
The running back, the free agent running back class is going to be insane this year.
And they need one. Bad.
A lot of movement. Well, that could be a topic. I didn't think about that. But we'll move on to mine.
We talked about free agent running backs 2 weeks ago. Where we thought they'd
don't go. Remember. Okay, that's right.
That's a whole segment.
Yeah. So I have one. So news just dropped today. Zach Wilson got permission to seek a trade. The New York Jets organization gave his agent permission to seek a trade. So this is what I'm proposing. Could be a new segment. I'm calling it Choose One. You got to choose one and tell me why you choose that one. Zach Wilson landing spots. Because I do think that the kid, given the right opportunity and the right offensive, because he got drafted to the worst possible situation with the New York Jets. Like, again, the absolute worst.
Anyone who's getting drafted number one overall to a team that actually had
number two,
that spot.
Number two, but, okay.
But still,
top five even to a team that earned that spot by playing poorly, you're getting yourself into a poor situation. Not saying he's a fucking MVP, but.
Yeah. So here we go. Zach Wilson, choose one landing spot. Atlanta, Washington, or Pittsburgh?
Well, I thought you were going to let me choose whichever one I wanted.
No, I'm giving you options. If we're done with this conversation, if you have a better option, I'd love to hear. But those are the three best I can think of in my head.
Well, because I mean, my counterpoint to that was, does he have to be a starter this year? Because I think he would thrive without being a starter for a year. Like I really do. Learning behind a guy.
He's past the learning behind a guy. He's 3 years into the league. He cannot be learning
after
behind
that.
Him
he's going to be fucking 28 years old.
Yeah. So he, I think he needs.
The kid's
I think
only got to be 24 years old. He was drafted
pretty
young.
25, probably closer to 25, if I had to guess. But still, you sit behind a guy for 3 years, Ethan. You're 28 years old, Travis's point.
I said
he'll be 25 before the year, like season starts. He turns 25.
Yeah, so I was saying 1 year, similar to Drew. So
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. These are spots where he can go and start right away. And under a new regime, get a fresh start.
I say you throw out Washington. They don't have the pieces to make him
Terry McLaurin
successful.
I think the Falcons are the most ready team out there.
I was going to say Falcons just because of weapons. I thought Steelers just because they were the probably most competitive team of the bunch. It's between those two, but when you look at young, like youthfulness and where he could might fit in best, especially with a new coach, I think Falcons.
Yeah. I think for me, it's the Falcons because to me, they're a quarterback away from winning that division. I really do. I think that they have that many weapons.
Don't talk about Baker Mayfield like that.
If you put Baker Mayfield on the Falcons, they might make the NFC Championship game. I will say that with full confidence. They have so many offensive pieces. Their defense looks so much better this year than it has in the past few years. I mean, you've got three proven running backs. Cordero Patterson is maybe not necessarily a proven running back, but Tyler Algier, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, when they use him, has been effective. They've got really good receivers.
They're missing a wide receiver.
Right. They're missing Calvin Ridley is who they're missing. I don't know. I think that they're the most ready team between those three.
But with that being said, I think it definitely could be a benefit if a team went out and got him. People saying that he, you know, should be done after not succeeding with the Jets. Kind of silly.
It is kind of silly. You're going to call me. I mean, it doesn't have to be a starting team. I would fucking Miami took a flyer on him to be Tua's backup.
Sure.
Oh, now you want to be that. Now you want to be backup for a year, huh?
No, I'm just saying because I do think someone's going to go out there who needs a quarterback right now, and they're going to go out there and trade a third or fourth round pick because that's what the Jets will take for him right now. Be like, hey, this guy could be starter. And Atlanta's new head coach said, if our quarterback room wasn't such a fucking mess last year, I might not have this job, is what he said, basically.
Isn't very promising towards your quarterback room now.
Yeah.
I'm not a Zach Wilson hater, but the only reason I don't think that somebody's going to go out there and take him as a starter is because of how heavy the quarterback market is this offseason. If you'd asked me last year, different story, but there are so many guys that are free agents in the draft that people are going to want to take a chance on because they're going to be cheaper.
But I don't think he'll be someone's going to go out and sign him to be their starter. He's definitely someone they could bring in and quote unquote compete for the job.
But no, for sure. Yeah.
That's about it.
I was just like, I mean, you've got, and again, dudes that are technically shells of themselves, but like Russell Wilson's out there. And he has already basically said that he would take veteran minimum to play somewhere. So if you can go get Russell Wilson for $1 million, like, I don't know, you're going to do that.
They cut him.
No. Huh? Not yet, but he's not going to be in Denver next year. I don't know what his contract is, what the buyout would look like, but I've heard that he would go play somewhere else for.
Well, it doesn't matter,
like,
what the buyout is,
because he has
is,
so much guaranteed.
You can do a post June 1st cut, and like you only have to pay part of the salary, and you get rid of so much of dead cap. And that's what the Dolphins are doing with Xavier Howard and Emmanuel Ogbah. It's a post June 1st cut.
And I'm 90% sure
he is still under contract for this year and next year, and then he has a potential out after that.
Yeah. What's his dead cap hit though?
This year?
Mm-hmm.
$85 million.
Oh my God.
God. But again, I mean, all the rumors I've heard, because I've heard it a lot on ESPN, is that like they're moving on from him. Like that's been, I mean, they sat him for the last 2 weeks of the season for that reason. It's because they were ready to turn the page. So they're just gonna have to eat a lot of money if they do that. But either way, that I just think there's a lot of quarterbacks out there that are available.
Yeah, it's true.
Speaking of quarterbacks and contracts, Mike McDaniel today, or I guess yesterday, doubled down on his initial Tua backing, and says that he wants and thinks that Tua will have a new contract heading into 2024. He said Tua is going hands off on this, letting his management take it. He doesn't want to be a part of the negotiations, which I think is good to an extent. However, there's ways about this conversation that I want to direct it. Do you think he deserves one of the QB standard contracts after what he's proven so far?
So here's what we got to remind ourselves: what does the standard look like? Because now with the salary cap raise, I'm sure we're going to start seeing some ludicrous contracts. Like if this salary cap raise would happen last year before Joe Burrow got his, he'd probably be making $70 million a year.
Well, Dak said that wanting, I guess, to like reset the market,
restructure
$60 million.
I think Tua makes sense. Listen, there's very few quarterbacks in this league that are him. I hate using that phrase, that are him. You got Joe Burrow, you got Patrick Mahomes, you could even throw Josh Allen in that conversation. Maybe
you have to throw Josh Allen in there.
I'm not even gonna put Aaron Rodgers in that conversation.
Oh, like, no, there's not this late
there's
in his career.
Three to four quarterbacks that are like worth that amount of money. Dak's not even one of them. I'm gonna be real honest with you. He's not. No. So you still have to pay your quarterback. It's the most important position on the field. If you're paying your quarterback shitty money, you're going to get a shitty product. Is Tua the best guy out there? No. Do I think restarting right now with the roster we have makes sense? No. To that point, I think an extension makes sense if you can get a good price on it that's both beneficial for him in terms of guaranteed money, because if he gets hurt again, he gets his bag regardless, but also in terms of team-friendly AAV. Annual value. If we can get him for like $40 million a year,
I was just gonna say it would have to stay under 40 for me. If it's anything over that, I don't like it, because you get into the situation where it's not good for the team. It's gonna put them in a dangerous cap situation, especially with other needs being concerned. Because there's, I mean, you can call them a contender as much as you want until they win a playoff game. I don't think they're a contender.
Yeah.
And if you're going out and signing Tua to a massive deal when he didn't get you there on his rookie deal, it's not very smart.
I missed the tail end of that question, but based on what I'm gathering is that the conversation was revolved around them wanting to sign Tua to an extension.
Yes.
I mean, I'm indifferent on this. I'm not a fan. But like you said, Tua led the league in passing. He's proven that he is probably top half of the league in talent. And like you said, Jared, there's only so many guys out there who can be the guy, be a franchise quarterback. I'd argue that maybe not even half the league has a franchise quarterback. Like in a true sense of this is the guy I want for 15 years. And so,
my only issue with it is that he's only shown 1 year of this, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at least he played all 17 games. And I think that's a big stepping stone, too, because it showed that he's, I mean, and I don't want to say he's not injury prone, but he came back and he proved that I can be on this field and I can be on this field for all 17 games, because health was a big factor in, I think, what the deciding factor would have been to extend him last year. So mm-hmm. now that you've proven that he can be on the field, that's, to me, availability is ability in 50% of what matters. And then the other 50% can be developed. And I know that, again, we talk about development. You want guys at this stage to already be developed, but I think that he's still young enough to where he can still continue to grow. I don't know how long I'd want that extension to be. That would be the second part to that, is how long would you all want that extension to be if there was going to be an extension?
Well, I don't want one.
Realistically.
It's going to happen, Travis.
I mean, it's not going to be under four.
Yeah.
But if you're going, it has to be at least four. I don't want it more than four. it just sucks, because like he was nowhere to be found at the back end of last season. Like he lost everything.
I think there's a lot more going on in the locker room than what we don't imagine. Apparently, like all the defenders came out and said that Vic Fangio, they didn't enjoy playing for him, and like there was like this kind of contention. So like, again, I think it's a lot more. Like, we always love to blame the quarterback for the team's pitfalls, which rightfully so, but. Listen, and I'm to the point where during those last few weeks of the season last year, the Bills game and the Chiefs game, I was like, I'm fucking done with this Hawaiian piece of shit. I literally think those words came out of my mouth at one point in time. And Carly said, stop it, you're being ridiculous. I was like, you're probably right. But I do think that it's going to happen, and I'm just kind of accepting it. But it like the Travis point, if it happens at a ridiculous price tag, I'm not going to like it. But it is what it is. So he shouldn't be resetting the quarterback market.
No, you get into the situation where you start where you're like, if he does underperform first year out of the extension, you're screwed.
Yeah,
you're screwed. Can't get rid of that. Just like the Russell Wilson shit. Dude's taking $90 million in cap.
Well, I guess
just so. That was a bad. Yeah, that was a bad. That's what I'm saying. Like, enough guaranteed money to protect Tua, but not enough to fuck the team over. But also a good, like, it has to be like a really, really good contract all around. I like the fact that he's letting his management take it over and him not being like, no, I need this, I need that. I think that's pretty smart, because I think his manager probably knows, hey, this dude's only played one full season. If we can get, you know, 2/3 or maybe 3/4 of what the max quarterback contract is on an extension to protect our player with enough guaranteed money, then we're going to take it. I hope that would be the case, but I've also been wrong. Also, playing in Florida helps, because you don't have state income tax. Yeah. So that also helps that son.
Yeah. I'm going to throw a number out. You just let me know, yes or no. Would you take it? 4 years, $170 million, but only $90 million of that is guaranteed.
Yes. Yes.
That's 45 AAV, but you're only guaranteeing $90 million.
Because there's probably an opt-out after year two or year three, and you can cut that dead cap space. That to me would be a perfect contract. It's fair to Tua. It's fair to the team. You're not crazy.
And again, if you have to extend it, like if you're accepting the fact that he's getting extended, I think that's a fair contract.
Well, I think it makes sense to extend him, because if you don't, then you're playing on the franchise tag or the fifth-year contract this year, and he would make like an insane amount of money.
Yeah. Or watch him, right? You know, he's playing on his fifth year and he balls out, and then
and like, fuck you.
$250 million.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm guessing that was Travis's second topic.
That was my second one.
Anybody else have anything football related before I move on to mine?
I do have something football related, kind of. It's not NFL, but I wanted to talk about the NCAA football video game compensation. So it finally came out. They're going to have all, I think it's 134 teams on the game.
Yep.
And all players have to choose whether or not they want to be in the game. If they choose to be in the game, they get $600 and a free copy of the game. Now, obviously, you're looking at it like, fuck, dude, some of these guys make millions of dollars in NIL money. Like, this is a cheap-ass contract.
I think I'm on your side. I've heard people argue, I was listening to ESPN the other day, and I was listening to people argue, if I were Jalen Milroe, is literally the person they used, first of all. And I was like, why are we using Jalen Milroe as the fucking face of the NCAA? But that's beside the point. They were like, if I was Jalen Milroe, I would rip up that contract and tell them you can go ahead and put Alabama number 4 on the game. I'm like, the game hasn't been out in 10 years. I know I'm not currently an athlete. I know I don't know exactly what's going on with their NIL and all the money they may or may not be getting and what they could get. But I got to tell you, if it isn't 90% of every athlete's dream to be in a fucking video game, why are you complaining about $600? That's my thing. Take the $600, take your name in the game, you get a free copy of the game.
And the free copy, yeah.
And you get to play as yourself in a fucking football game. Like, that to me is worth, if they gave me no money, and again, I'm not an athlete, so I don't know, obviously, what it's like to be on that stage. But there, to me, it's such, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not going to say that there's not two sides to this argument, but I think it's silly that people are arguing that some of these big name players just shouldn't be in the game.
Well, I agree.
If you're a big name player and the money doesn't mean anything to you, then that's even further to the point of why you shouldn't care, because you already are making more money. It should matter more to the people, to the guys who are still a high, like, profile player on their team that aren't bringing in a whole lot of money in NIL, who are getting, like, you know, $50,000, $40,000, and they're like, oh, $600. Yep. But still, at the end of the day, it's free $600. Yep. You're in a video game.
Yep.
What more do you want?
As far as marketability goes, if you want to put your name out there, and people are arguing, like, you know, oh, well, they're using your name and likeness and you're not really getting anything for it. Bullshit. You're going to have millions of people playing as you in a video game. If that's not marketability, you're going to make more money in the long run just from your name being out there. And as these big guys, like you said, it really doesn't matter anyways. And for these mid-level guys, you're going to get your name out there because they're like, who fucks this corner on Michigan?
I was going to say, if you aren't a high-level guy and you're in the video game and someone's playing against you or playing as Michigan, I didn't even know who this guy is. He's pretty good.
Why the fuck is this Luther Burden guy a dog? Like, I got to go look him up.
Yeah, for real. So. Or, man, Brady Cook. You know, so I agree. I think a lot of the players will opt in because of the same reason that you guys are saying. Like, first of all, if they're not making any NIL money, some money's better than no money. And if they are making good NIL money, then they're like, fuck, dude, I got a badass weekend. I got $600. I'm going to fucking piano bar, and I'm fucking buying the whole bar tequila shots because of this shit right here. That's what I'm doing right here. Dollar tequila shots, dollar salsa shots, all on me.
Yep. Yeah. So I agree with you. I think it's a silly discussion, but there are people out there who are like, and also I think the other thing to think about too is $600 doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're paying $600 to, I think it adds up to over 11,000 athletes. That's a lot of fucking money that you're handing over. And I know that they make a lot of money on video games, but that's money that you hadn't accounted for in the past. If you're EA and you suddenly got to fork over $6 million.
Yeah. $6.6 million. Yeah.
Yeah. To throw out there. Like, it's not a small chunk of change by any means.
Yeah.
And it allows them to pay everyone, not just the big names. Like, they could have come out with a plan and been like, oh, we'll give all the big names, you know, $3,000. But that means that Harrison Meavis doesn't get his name in the game. So,
which he won't anyway, because he's going to the NFL.
Right. Right. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Either way, excited for the game. Should be awesome.
So pumped.
It's going to be phenomenal. I thought you were going a different direction with that, with them not even having a full season of the 12-team college football playoff and already wanting to expand it to 14.
Yeah. That's another stupid conversation, but I don't even know.
Save that until further shit goes on.
We can talk about that stuff later, because they want to expand that. And there's already people talking again about expanding the NCAA March Madness tournament from 68 to 92 teams. And I'm like,
if anything, you just let everybody in.
Yeah. Let's just let everybody in. I mean, we should let fucking, what's some mid fucking A-10 team? Like, just throw them in there. Yes, exactly. This is a 2006
this year though, so they might deserve to be in.
No shit. I mean, at this point though, it'd be like putting Mizzou in the tournament at 8-20. Like, it's so ridiculous.
We need to give Northern Arizona their chance to make a run in the tournament. NAU, baby. No, yeah, that's
definitely. All right, Ethan, I love March Madness. I don't need more of it as much as I love that month, like that month stretch of basketball. I don't need more of it at this point. I just don't.
No. No, and I get pretty burnt out come like Sweet 16 time. Like, all right, I'm ready to wrap this shit up a little bit, to be honest with you.
Yep. All right. Well, if we're done with football, question mark, I do have a basketball topic that I don't think you guys are going to agree with me on.
Better not steal my basketball topic.
Is it about the NCAA? Then I am not stealing your basketball topic. But I have to talk about it because it came up again. And I'm not going to argue against what you think I'm going to argue for, but I'll just get into it. It's the court storming situation with Duke. And before you jump into your thoughts on it, I just want to say my piece real fast. One, it is not about the court storming for me, and it is not about Duke. I hate Duke. I've always been a Duke hater, so it's not that. But I cannot understand the people who think Filipowski intentionally tripped that kid. Have you never seen walking? Like, the dude, if you watch it in slow-mo, fast-mo, the dude is just walking. And also, if you've got the, I think what's different between this one and the Caitlin Clark situation is, you know, you can look at the Caitlin Clark one and be like, yeah, she definitely flopped. She sold that. Like, there was only a handful of people on the court. There were 100 people bull rushing Kyle Filipowski before the clock even hit zero, or maybe it hit zero, because I heard there was arguments that it was off from the clock on the TV versus what was in person. And the dude was just caught in it and he was walking. And if I were me, I'd be throwing my hands out to try to get out of the way too. I'd probably even try to trip somebody, but I think he was just walking. He stuck his leg out. He got tripped. He got pushed in the back. Dude's yelling in his face. So my topic about this is just, one, what are your thoughts on the situation? Two, I don't think we need to get rid of court storming. Obviously we did it when we were at Mizzou for the field. And three, what can you do at that point?
Nothing
to try to mitigate that.
I am on the opposing side. I think he sold it hardcore.
The dude's soft as pancake batter.
He sold it hard. And he also kind of extended his body to get out there in the same kind of
sense. So
Caitlin Clark did the same thing.
Did he play in the next game?
My counter argument to this, though, is that if you had 20 people rushing at you, you two, and you cannot disagree with me, would be throwing fists, not tripping people. You would be throwing fists. I know you both well enough to know if you saw 100 people coming your way at full speed that you'd be doing something. So I'm not saying that you're wrong in that he sold it, but I don't think he tripped somebody and he got pushed in the back. You can see
I might be throwing fists, but I'm not going to be crying about it. If you're going to cry about it, you want to know how you stop that from happening?
Don't cry about it.
Win the fucking game.
Well, yeah. No, I agree with you there. And no, again,
that's my point. Like,
you can't cry about it, lose the game, and then pile on top of it and act hurt.
That's my thing. That was my problem. He acted hurt. Like, if I'm going to be mad and I'm going to like try to shove people or throw some fists or whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to own up to it.
I'm going to shove them.
I hated those fuckers. They fucking beat us. It sucked ass. It's never going to happen again. And next time they want to come at me, they're getting a fucking elbow to the teeth. That's what I would say.
Exactly. People will appreciate you so much more.
Well, you know what? They intentionally tried to step on my ankle. And I'm a big, fat fucking oaf. And,
I'll tell you this much. I mean, I'm sure some people might have shouted stuff at him. But no one's going out there intentionally trying to bulldoze him over. They're probably not even looking at him in that.
And that's not my thing. Is I don't think he was intentionally run over. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there's so many people on the court that he was going to get hit no matter what. I think the thing that does kind of suck though is like now we're in this day and age where like people were like yelling in his face and stuff. I'm like, I loved when we rushed the field at Mizzou. I wasn't looking for an Arkansas player to shit on. Although I had one walk by.
I didn't see one. If I would have. Would have yelled in his face.
100%. Come on. It's the nature of the game. Like, we don't have to live in this soft ass society where you can't.
No, we absolutely don't. But
you got to fucking nut up or shut up.
I will say this for the conversation is that if they ban court storming, it's just gonna ruin so much in terms of just Jay the Billis. Atmosphere of college. Dude, that argument was so dumb. Oh my god!
Like when we rushed the field my freshman year. Was it my freshman year? Yeah.
It was freshman year. So
we rushed it 2 years in a row.
Okay.
Rushed it my freshman year too. I wish I would have went out and found Johnny Manziel. That'd been great. I'd have yelled in his face. Why not?
Yeah.
I guess the difference between football and basketball though is like they're in pads, but
yeah.
Tackle. No, man, I mean that's what makes college. Oh shit, I'm gonna sneeze.
Oranges.
God damn it. My allergies to kick my ass. That's what makes college sports so great, because you can't storm the fucking field or court in professional sports.
Right.
Because it just isn't a thing. So I think people storm the court and field whenever it doesn't need to be, like when you're a top 20 or top 10 team and you beat an unranked team. I've seen that happen before, but
yeah.
There's no stopping.
Yeah. My argument, again, like I said, was never against court storming or not, because we've done it. It's amazing. The atmosphere is so cool. Even if you're not there, just seeing it on TV and like seeing the mad rush onto the court after a big upset. Now, another question I wanted to ask though, and I think I'm on the side you guys are going to be on with this. Wake Forest was favored in that game. Does that matter?
No.
I didn't think so. Me either. I was like, they played a top 10 team and they were unranked. It shouldn't matter.
Regardless, top 10 team, they played Duke.
Yeah.
Duke could have been ranked 25th. It doesn't matter. You beat Duke.
That's why I wanted to ask, though.
I'll say, yeah. If you're Duke or North Carolina in that AC conference and you go on the road and you play a team that you've whooped their ass for the last 10 years, regardless of what it's going to be like, you're going to storm. It's like if Alabama comes to Mizzou and Alabama's 15th and Mizzou's number 11, I think Mizzou's still going to storm the field because it's Alabama.
Well, that was my big thing, though, is like people were on the internet saying, like, well, why would you even rush the court when you were 3.5-point favorites? I'm like, because you're unranked and you were playing a number 9 ranked Duke team or whatever they were.
It's a big game. Yeah. It's emotional. Yeah, let the players celebrate with the fans. It's awesome for everyone.
Let people have fun.
If you had the wrong side of the game.
We gotta have fun today.
I will say there are instances where people storm the court and the field though that are completely unnecessary. Like when you're
for sure.
When you're like a not even a completely dog shit team, but like a pretty dog shit team, and you beat another bad
team.
Now, when you had Detroit Mercy a week ago, who hadn't won a game in college basketball all year long, and they finally won, and then the one guy stormed the court. Incredible.
Yeah, that was so funny. He like ran out and he was just like,
there's probably like 35 people in the stands, but he ran out on the court. So no, that's hilarious though. I think that you're never going to stop it. You could put up the fucking warnings on the scoreboard of the team will be fine. The school will be fine. $1 million. I don't care. I'm paying them $30,000 myself.
The one time, I can't remember if it was your first or second time, Travis, but I'd already stormed the field once when we beat Oklahoma my freshman year. But I was like, go. Or we're like in the fifth row. I was like, go. And all them fucking vaginas in the front rows wouldn't go. I'm like, go, go, go. They're like, we're going to find them. Like, who gives you paying that? No, fucking go.
If you get 20 people out there, everyone's following. You're not stopping it.
And that's what it did. Yeah.
That's funny. But college basketball is a freaking whirlwind this year. But I don't know
how it's going to be interesting.
I don't know how we're going to go about gambling on the tournament. It could either be really well or it's going to be a shit show.
Yeah.
It's always bad. Every year's bad. I've never won money buddy on the tournament.
But about basketball, I'm going to kind of go rotate into the NBA for a second. Last week, my old team, so the reason that I follow this team, decided to rebrand for the second time in 10 years. I don't know if you guys saw this.
I did see that.
The LA Clippers changing their logo, changing the branding, because let's be honest, when they did it back in what, like 2013 or 14, god awful. Like the logo they came up with, pretty sure was made on fucking Microsoft Paint, Windows Paint.
Well, and I think the rebranding is in line with them getting their new stadium, right? Like, I think they just wanted like a fresh start because they have a new stadium next year. So
have you guys seen the logo?
I have.
Jared, have you seen the logo?
Yes.
It's awesome. I think it's really cool. It goes back to what Ethan mentioned. Is either on the last episode or the episode before, we're talking about like minimalistic designs that people create on TikTok. And it kind of goes with that. And it's something they should have went the first time. It's the C around the outside with the ships in the middle of it, kind of dating back to the San Diego Clippers days. And they had the ship in the middle of the helm. I think it's great. The one knock I have about it is their jerseys. I wish they would have put the logo on the front of one of their jerseys, and they didn't.
Yep. Yeah. I'll add to that. I think it's cool because I feel like it's unique to the NBA. Like, I feel like we haven't seen something like nautical like that in the NBA before. Like you said, it's a minimalistic design. I just think it's different. I think it's on brand. And I think that along with getting their new arena, separating themselves a little bit from the Lakers,
where are they playing?
I think it'll go well for them. Huh?
Also downtown LA.
It has to be somewhere. I don't know if it'll be right downtown, but
no,
it's not. I don't know. Downtown. I feel like
it's in Inglewood. It's in Inglewood.
There you go.
So I'm assuming, but next to SoFi,
probably the Intuit Dome is located in south of SoFi Stadium. Be the home of the LA Clippers moving from crypto.com arena.
Gonna have to fucking bring a riot shield with you to tailgate.
Oh shit.
Down there. Bulletproof vest, maybe. But I wanted to mention it because I thought it was really cool when I saw it the other day. I didn't even know that they were going through a rebrand, but
The first event at this new arena will be Usher's
tour.
September 21st, 2024. It's also going to host the 2026 NBA All-Star Game. So,
makes sense. I feel like they've been doing that a lot. Anytime somebody gets a new stadium, arena, field, whatever, that the All-Star Game seems to come there like three seasons later.
Well, that's the same thing with the Super Bowl.
And it's the same way with the MLB All-Star Game.
What I mean. I meant any sport. Yeah, like any sport. It seems like when there's a new Bush.
2009 in Roosevelt, no sticks. So,
yep.
I like it. It gets people from out of town to the new stadium.
Yep.
Why not? I was driving by Bush today, and I was like, I don't know if it's us being from St. Louis and we love the Cardinals, but I feel like it's like from the outside just looks like an awesome stadium.
I love the red brick. It's very St. Louis. I think it's just super cool. I hate how close the highway is to it.
I was going to say, you can stick your hand out and fucking touch a mirror on the car driving by, but other than that, it's great.
All right. For sure. You got anything else?
I do. I got one. So this could be another game. So I did choose one. I'm also going to pick three. Ethan, I'm going to kind of put you in a spot with this one. This is not going to lie more geared towards Travis, but I think you can contribute. So give me three. Pick three UFC champs that are currently champion right now that will still be champion at the end of 2024.
Okay. Man.
I've got one. We'll stay away from women's divisions because those tend to stay for a while. Like you could go Zhang Weili.
Or they flip flop really fast. It's one or the other.
Yeah. So I'm gonna stay away from them just because it's less controversial. The first one's not very controversial. I think that when he made his return, he solidified himself. He's already defended his belt. And I don't think anyone's beating it from him or getting it from him in that division. I'm gonna say Pantoja.
Okay. In the flyweight division, he's flyweight
because they had the number one contender fight again, which I guess you could consider the number one contender fight, even though he has beaten Moreno and Roy Val in back to back fights. Twice. Moreno to get it, Roy Val to defend it. Then Roy Val wins. I don't think he's going to immediately get a rematch after he's already lost to him twice.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I don't know who beats him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Man, picking three when we've only got nine to choose from? It's kind of.
Well, so you guys could have just collectively between you two could have three too because there's. Okay.
I have questions again because I'm not as in tune with it. At what point would John Jones get stripped if he doesn't fight?
Not this year.
So, but okay, they already had an interim heavyweight championship fight. So I wouldn't. That to me is like. It's tough. Like John Jones seems like
current champ on ESPN.
He is. There's also an interim champ. It's Tom Aspinall. I think John Jones fights this year, in my opinion.
Right.
So if you think John Jones, if there's one fight and you think John Jones wins.
Which I it's hard for me to say he's not going to, regardless of how long. He hasn't fought since March of 2023.
Especially again, because
he also was off for however long and came back and like he never left. But,
I also don't think he's going to take a fight this year, anyone other than Stipe, and Stipe hasn't fought in 4 years.
Yeah.
So I think John Jones is a safe bet to me.
It is a safe bet.
God, I mean, does Leon have a card coming up?
Leon's going to fight probably twice this year, if I had to bet. Leon's so active. Leon wanted to fight at 300, and Dana White came out and said, he's like, I'll give Leon this. We offered him three fights. He said yes to all of them. No one else on the other end accepted him.
I will go with my second one just because
we're collective on this.
semi-inactivity. Oh, we are collective on this?
I think we have to be. I don't know enough about some of these guys outside of just knowing.
I feel like it's got to be Islam.
That was what I was going to say too.
Those are the three that came to my mind too. Pantoja, Islam, and John Jones.
I had to pick another one. John Jones is kind of like a sticky situation. If I had to go another one that I know is going to fight this year, and this might be one that's kind of controversial because there's some tough fights in that division, Sean O'Malley.
Yeah.
Ooh, there are some tough. If he gets Merab, that's going to scare me. If you have Merab, if he beats Chito Vera, because he basically said, if I beat Chito Vera, everyone says I'm ducking Merab, so Merab's next. And that's a tough fight.
Do we think that Pereira is going to beat Jamahal Hill at this?
Yes.
Because if he does he fight again before December?
Yes.
He's been one of the most active people I've ever seen in my
He might fight life. Two more times.
Yeah.
Okay.
The dude's a fucking maniac.
Because that makes it a little bit tougher, obviously. Money.
Yeah, so like those are three that came to my head. O'Malley was tough for me. I could see Leon losing to Khamzat. I could see Leon losing to, or Khamzat's probably gonna go up to 185.
Bilal.
I could see Leon losing. I could see the guy that I could see Topuria losing his belt.
I can see. I don't think it is. You know, likely, but he could. I love Dricus, so I wasn't going to pick him because I just want him to hold it.
But again, he's also in a tough division where there are a lot of dogs there. There's a lot.
That's
of
where you
there.
Got Khamzat, probably.
Yeah. So those are the three that came to my mind. I like O'Malley, but we'll see. Because if O'Malley's like Merab's next, I mean Merab might just ragdoll him to death. Who knows? But
Henry was kind of beating him up on the feet. As long as he doesn't get bullied into the takedown game, he could do the same thing he did to Aljamain. You just catch that little guy once, and he's got fucking 8 inches on him.
Yeah. Merab's a lunatic, though. I saw a video of him diving in the stadium swim pool and swimming all the way across without coming up for breath, and it was like almost 2 minutes long.
That's insane.
That's nuts.
I know we said we weren't saying any of the women's divisions, but I was just looking at it, and I really think the only one who might is just Wiley Zhang. I was looking at Raquel Pennington and Alexa Grasso. I don't know if either one of them – I mean, they could, obviously, but I don't know if I'm confident enough and that either one of them are going to.
Women's MMA is in a tough spot now without Amanda Nunes and without Holly Holm and without Chris
Seidel. She's coming back, though.
Yeah. Holly Holm's
40 fucking what, two?
She's always liable to come back. Always. Misha Tate is no longer a big name. It's just in a tough spot right now because Rocco Pennington and Grasso don't move the needle.
I would go Zhang. Alexa Grasso is going to get beat by whoever wins this Manon Fiorot and Aaron Blanchfield fight.
Yeah, Manon Fiorot's a beast.
Aaron Blanchfield's a beast.
Yeah,
they're both bees, and they're both gonna. It just sucks because one of them has to win. I think they could both beat her, but we'll see. That's why I wanted to save it from women's because it's so, you know,
It's
wide open.
Either way, is that it?
I got one more thing. It's super quick because it's my third one. I was talking to Travis about it earlier, but not the topic specifically, but just that I stole it. So shout out to ESPN, the morning show that I listen to for giving me this idea. I heard this conversation this morning and I wanted to hear your thoughts. If you had to choose one, what is the most exciting walk-off in sports? Not instance. What I mean by that is Hail Mary, walk-off home run, buzzer beater. Buzzer beater, home run, Hail Mary. I ain't done yet. Walk-off putt, knockout to win a title. I could keep going. I'm missing one.
I thought you were talking about
goal in overtime for either soccer or hockey, but I know we're not big soccer people here. So, but like goal in overtime to win it, any type of buzzer beater.
Cause like playoff hockey, like overtime playoff hockey goal to win it, like is fucking insane. Like that to me, like
now it doesn't have to be in the playoffs. I know I said for the title for UFC, but that's just because I feel like that's very one-off.
For UFC, it's tough because there's literally a walk-off in every finish of every fight.
Yeah.
But I think Ethan's talking about like you knock them out and they're like out cold.
Just one punch, out cold, you win.
Like the ref jumps in and stops it. Yeah.
Like Ilya Topuria, Volkanovski.
Yeah, that or like whenever I'm thinking when Sean O'Malley knocked out Eddie Wineland and he just like
So like it got brought up because of Max Strus's 60-footer last night. It was the longest buzzer beater in NBA history, from what I read. To me, it's always still the walk-off home run just because of how exciting it is when it happens. I feel like that's one of the ones that you are cheering for before it's technically even over, because as soon as the crack of that bat hits, everybody's just like, oh, shit. Whereas like Hail Mary, somebody said Hail Mary today, and I was just like, you can't get into a Hail Mary because they only happen 3% of the time.
And like most of the time the walk-offs in football are field goals, which you're like, okay, there's two outcomes here. He makes it or he misses it, which I know that's the outcome for most of them, but it's like, I don't know.
Right. Well, but it was specifically Hail Mary though, not just like a game winner. It was like 50-yard line. You're throwing the ball into the end zone. It's exciting when it happens. Don't get me wrong. I can't get excited for it until the ball is in the hand.
Part
and it
of
is
me,
literally
part
all
of me is just always going to relate back to buzzer beaters. Like, especially in March Madness, like when RJ Hunter hit that and his dad fell out of the fucking office chair because he broke his leg on the sidelines. Like, that's what I think of. Or like when Marcus Denman hit like the half court buzzer beater at halftime going into when we were whooping Memphis' ass. Golston
twice last year.
Yeah. So like that to me is like, is buzzer, it? Cause
yeah.
It's buzzer beater.
It's got to be buzzer beater.
Cause it happens so fast.
I'm very biased to walk off home runs, but yes, buzzer beaters are by far and away, I think, the most intense in the moment because it's so fast paced. There's, you know, time's winding down. With baseball, obviously there's no clock. So like it could be a 20 pitch at bat. But again, I just go back to like the crack of the bat and you know it's gone. Like, man, that's just so, especially in a playoff scenario. And again, that's not part of it. But if it was, that
baseball is a close second for me.
Yeah.
It's a close second for me.
But somebody brought up like
probably walk off goal in hockey. Yeah. So my third.
Somebody brought up like though, like draining like a 40-foot putt in the Masters on the 18th hole. Like I was
how often does that happen?
No, but I'm saying like that would be intense.
There's only one instance, and I watch a lot of golf, where that happened, where I was like, oh my God, it was insane. It was Ethan. I don't know if you were there. We were getting ready for a fantasy football draft, and I was watching the golf match at Kevin's house or Kevin's wife's mom's house, whatever. And Dustin Johnson sunk like a fucking 45 footer. John Rahm had to step up and sink a 60 or like the same amount of length putt, and he did it. And it's like, that's electric. But other than that, not as you don't see it as much. Like most of the walk-off putts are like lag putts up to 2 feet and you tap it in.
Right. And that's what I was going to say is like a lot of the times it is like a gimme putt or something to win it. And I wouldn't even necessarily count like you're up a stroke and you're putting for par. I would say like it's tied and you're shooting birdie. Like that's what I would count. Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, it's hard to argue UFC, but it just happens so often. And there's so many good ones.
Yep.
When you think of buzzer beaters, it doesn't happen as often. Walk-off home runs don't happen as often. Exactly. Shit like that. Like instance-wise, you could argue everything.
Instance-wise.
But, right.
I don't know if Ethan knows that, but Cody Garbrandt was fighting, she was probably 2-3 years ago, And he was kind of getting beat up a little bit and tagged, but it was like the end of the second round. I mean, literally, like, he dodges a punch, comes up and left hooks this dude.
And as the buzzer goes off and sleeps
off, sleeps him, fell asleep as the buzzer went off. It was wild.
Yeah. It's nuts. It's kind of like, I saw a video today of whenever Anderson Silva was fighting Michael Bisping and knocked him out at the buzzer.
Yep.
But they let it go on and Michael Bisping won by decision. So it was like, what do you want? Yeah. That's a fine line you're wanting to draw there. But you could argue everything. I would go buzzer beater though. Even if it's not at the buzzer, if it's like a half a second when it goes in, still electric. Like I go back to last year on the Furman shot against Virginia in the first round of the NCAA tournament. It was nuts. Shit like that. It's so electric. So
there you have it.
It's a good one. Those were good. I really like that. Let's take a pee break and come back and do our draft. All right. Let's do a draft for the folks and get out of here. It's something we came up pre-podcast when we were spitballing. We wanted to include something to you guys or for you guys that you might have some interest in outside of just the random sports topics that are going around. We are going to do a draft of, and I'm not sure how to word this, best drinking holidays / festivities.
Perfect. Yeah. So best times to drink, whatever holiday festivity. And when we say festivity, we don't mean around a golf with your buddies. It has to be like an actual like occasion. So
yes, occasion / holidays.
Yep. All right. Who wants to go first?
Good question.
Why don't you two go first? I'll go second since it was kind of your guys' spitball.
I guess I'll take it. Fuck it.
Yes.
I'll go first.
Technically your idea.
Best drinking holiday, in my humble opinion, bar none, is probably 4th of July.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That is a given.
Yeah.
Any day of the week. Mine, I mean, it's tough because there's so many and it's like, there's so many good times at both, but then when you go through this stint of having a child and it's like, you don't really get to do it like you used to, but some of the best ones gotta be New Year's Eve.
Okay. I actually like that. It wasn't even on my brain. So I'm glad you said it. Cause I would have just forgotten about the holiday altogether. All right. That means I have back to back. I think I have to go with the other obvious warm weather choice, at least. And that is going to be Memorial Day weekend. Another fantastic one that you've got 3 days to do whatever you want, hang out, grill, float. I don't know what people are doing out there, but all those things, go to the beach if you're by the beach, go to the lake if you're by the lake. And then my second round pick is an occasion, and it is simply because I just had said occasion. It is a wedding reception. Drinking at a wedding reception is
a
grand time.
You want to know why? Because it's free.
It's free.
Not,
it wasn't free for me in May, but it felt free.
I was hoping you weren't stealing this because this is an occasion and most likely because something that we've done forever for me, certain time of the year, it's birthday.
Yep.
Yes. Good one.
Not everybody does, but I think it's a good one because if you have the right friend group, like I feel like we do, like we do festivities, I feel like every year, for specifically for yours, because it's in July, but
yeah. Fucking lucky bastard. All right. Y'all are giving me layups here because I'm going to take, in my opinion, what should have been top five on both. Now they creep back to me. I'm going to go with St. Patty's Day. For my next one. And Mardi Gras.
God, you took the fucking St. Louis street festivals. Granted, I shouldn't say that because they're not just St. Louis, but both of them are very good here. So,
yeah. And I've had some of my best times at both of those drinking in downtown St. Louis, especially Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is always a fun time, whether it's cold or warm. And St. Patty's Day, me and Travis are part Irish, so it's always fun.
It's tough. Made it a tough one. but I'm going to go back end of Ethan's first pick, one where it's end of summer, Labor Day.
Labor Day. Yep. Labor Day weekend.
I figured that was coming up soon. I didn't want to take both of them, so I like that you took that one. See, now this is where we get into the tougher ones, at least maybe for me. I don't know. I'm probably missing some pretty obvious ones. But I think I have to go with Thanksgiving, just because football, drinking, family time. I mean, it's not necessarily you're getting hammered holiday for drinking, but I think casual drinks are a nice social activity as well. Yeah. So Thanksgiving, I am just like blanking right now. Is there anything else in the summer? Let's go Halloween as well, because Halloween, if you're not, 6 years old and you're going trick or treating, college age Halloween, early adulthood, I feel like there's tons of
even costume parties. Even if you have kids,
it's fun to fucking we were at Travis's house this past October and motherfuckers were handing out shooters when they were walking around with their kids. It was a great time.
Yeah. The subdivision around here gets lit. I'm going one. It's always been a strong drinking day in the Ryan household. And I see it over social media that it's actually more popular than I thought it was. Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I've spent many a Christmas days in my adulthood after I was able to drink hungover. Bad. Travis, remember that one night at Uncle Kevin's house?
Yes. Jared was throwing up out the side of a car on the way home.
Down Highway 110. Yep. It was bad.
Oh, my God. Yeah, see, I guess that's just different, different cultural practices for different households, because I don't know if I've ever drank on Christmas Eve. That's being dead ass honest.
So hard on Christmas Eve. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's got their different things that they do, different traditions. That's the word I was looking for.
So I guess I have one more, right?
No.
Just one.
Two more.
You should have two more, because we got to come back around. Yep.
Two more. Okay. Now I see Ethan's point here about how this makes it difficult. Cinco de Mayo. I'm gonna take Cinco de Mayo. I don't know how I've gotten 4th of July, Mardi Gras, St. Patty's Day, Cinco de Mayo.
You might have won this one.
I've gotten all the cultural drinking holidays like checked off there. America, Ireland, French, and Mexican.
I will take the Chinese New Year.
Off. Yeah, exactly.
It's like Mexican Independence Day.
Yeah. And then fifth one, my last pick. Ethan said Thanksgiving. I'm going to go Drunksgiving. When you're in your 20s and doing Drunksgiving, that is like a staple. I'll accept it. I would never do that anymore these days, because that sounds miserable, spending Thanksgiving hungover. But back in your 20s, it was the shit. You guys are still in your 20s, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will go. Tough to end it on this one. I'm going to go. It's more of a casual one, but it's a nice drink. You usually go out for a nice cocktail with the missus.
You take an anniversary. Day.
Yeah. Oh, Valentine's Day. Okay, there you go. There you go.
I was gonna take anniversary for the exact same reason. As you go out, glass of wine, bottle of wine.
The reason I didn't do anniversary is because a lot more people aren't in relationships, and they're just going on a date.
Fair. Wednesday. Fair. Yeah.
Get all liquored up with honey. You don't know.
I think that I easily won that one.
Yeah.
Well, you got 4th of July, and that's hands down probably the best one there is.
I got all the best drinking holidays.
I'm for some reason, Mardi Gras, St. Patty's Day weren't even coming across my brain, and I literally live in Dogtown. So
I feel like that, though, for if you're not in a big Irish town, St. Patrick's, like a lot of people don't even acknowledge that. And then Mardi Gras, again, if we're not in St. Louis, if you're in a different metropolitan area that's not a huge
it's not like New in those Orleans
areas not big it's not that big, so depending on the demographic
yeah
could not be great.
I was gonna say, I mean, it's if you're not in New Orleans are here for Mardi Gras because New Orleans is obviously the biggest. St. Louis is the second biggest. And then St. Patrick's Day, I don't know how big St. Louis is compared to other places outside of Ireland.
St. Louis,
Boston's obviously huge for St. Patrick's Day. But
New York.
Chicago's a big St. Patrick's Day celebration. They literally fucking paint the river green. But
I don't know if they paint it. I know they dye it.
Oh, whatever.
Paint would be a little different.
You could throw paint in there. Something might happen.
Kill all the fish.
But
all right.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it, folks. Episode 235. May go bi-weekly for a month or two.
We got UFC next week.
We do have UFC next week. So there we go. But so we might don't be alarmed week. if we go bi-weekly every now and again until some stuff starts popping up, because there's just not a whole lot. We're scraping the bottom of the barrel with some things. We didn't do it last week because there weren't enough sports stories that intrigued us. This week kind of audible and made it good.
Here's what we do. Yeah, this week we all made it good. Next week we can do this. It's like some games. Ethan's can do all those trivia extravaganzas, and we can do UFC. And then the week after that we can do like a pre-UFL, because the UFL kick off.
Yes.
The week after that. So, and then we'll probably take a week off. But yeah.
Well, March Madness is quite literally the week after that. So,
well, actually, that we might have to
start. Yeah, we have conference championships.
Yeah, we might have just taken 1 week off.
No. Maybe we're not doing bi-weekly.
Yeah, we ain't going nowhere. And then we got the draft.
After the draft, then it's probably that's usually when we hit by our bi-weekly strides after the draft.
Usually, like, what is it? Late May to July.
We're gonna try to be your one stop shop for UFL gambling. Like, I really think there's a market there for UFL gambling podcasts. So just gonna say it. Just gonna put it out there.
Hopefully it's better than last year, but we will see.
Fast forward to July. Ladies and gentlemen, we are down 16 and a half units on UFL this year.
No.
No, we're gonna be great. It's gonna be great. Yep.
Need a big one. All right. Well, that's it for episode 235. We will see you guys next week for UFC and other shenanigans.
Peace.